Hey guys, how are you today? Here's another episode of the Intimacy Podcast for the Million Dollar Man. I'm Rhonda Farr. I want to build on something that we were talking about last week. Do you remember that podcast, Transactional Love versus Abundant Love? If you haven't listened to that, make sure you either go back and listen to that right now or listen to that after this episode, because I want to build on that idea based on some things that have come up with you guys in the interim of that podcast recording. So I was out of town recently, and we were out in southern Utah climbing on some huge, beautiful red rocks. My husband grew up in that area, and it's just his childhood. So we're off on this hike, and he's off to the races. He loves to climb the rocks, you know, just like the kids, almost like climbing to the highest rock and just having so much fun. Well, I noticed some of my younger boys were exploring. One of them was wearing sandals, slides. I'm not even kidding you. He said he didn't bring appropriate footwear after we got there. But anyway, and I noticed my heart starts racing and my heart starts pounding. And I could tell like some serious fear was coming up. Now, is there danger in that area? Yes. Could things happen? Yes. But it was like this panic was coming over me. And, you know, I do a lot of emotional work with all of you. I talk about emotional work. I also practice what I preach. I do my own emotional work. So I just took a moment, like took a deep breath. I noticed the way my body was feeling. Sometimes I'll notice how my body feels before I even know what the thoughts and stories are that are going on in my mind. Anyway, I took a deep breath. Everybody was safe. Nobody was like about to slide off the cliff at this point. And I did take a moment, just like relax, close my eyes just for a second. And it was the funniest thing. I saw this 17-year-old version of myself at the bottom of a waterfall. And I saw the person that I was dating at the time standing on the very top of this waterfall. And I remember I was so freaked out. He was right at the edge. And when he noticed that I was freaked out that he might fall, like he even kind of played it up a little bit more, but get closer and watch me get super uncomfortable. I don't think he's a terrible human for doing that. I think he's a teenage boy. But I do think it also kind of made him feel good that I cared. You know, it was like this trippy little mind game that was probably going on in retrospect. But what was also going on for me is my brother had passed away not too long before that. So not from falling off a cliff, by the way, but it was very sudden from a car accident. And I was kind of raw already. Like I'm this teenage girl. The mortality of us all has just become very, very real and been thrown right in my face. I didn't have a lot of tools or skills, obviously, as most of us don't as teenagers, to handle that much emotion, right? So I'm already dealing with that. Then this other thing happens with this guy that I'm dating at the time. And like, I'm just, all I can think of is he's going to die right in front of me and he doesn't care, right? Like all this stuff, my body is just flooded with these emotions. And it was so interesting to notice that here I am, I'm 44-year-old, guys. I'm going to be 45 this year. And I'm like feeling these heart palpitations. My chest is like closing in. I'm having a hard time breathing a little bit. I can feel this in my body. I close my eyes. What's going on for me is my brain is saying this situation is relevant. It's the amygdala. Thank you, amygdala. It like stores those very emotional memories for us. And it's saying, hey, there's something going on here that's relevant to something that was really awful before. And I just want you to be aware of that, right? Like we might be in real danger. And sometimes that's what the survival primal brain does to us in general, right? Because it's saying, hey, we need to perpetuate your life. My brain's number one job is to just keep me alive, right? And so it will warn me of all the things that are potentially dangerous going on around me. So I was on a call with one of my clients and he said to me, actually, this just happened today. He said to me like, so frustrating. How long am I going to have to contend with this 12-year-old version of me? And I was like, well, you know, maybe till the day you die. I don't know. I'm still contending with some of those versions of myself. And I don't actually think that is a terrible thing. I don't think that is, it's no indication that something's wrong with you, that you haven't done the work. Yet, sometimes we want to resist those parts of us and say, you know, why am I still here? Why are those things still coming up? Here's what I want to offer. It is possible that those things will still come up. And that's perfectly normal. That's how your human brain works. Now, will they come up to the same intensity? Probably not over time. Do they have to dictate your decisions and your life? I sure hope not. For me, it's not to get you to a place where those things never come up. It's to help you understand when they come up, to see why they're still coming up, and to be able to still have agency and choice around those moments when your body is saying there might be something dangerous here. Let's check it out. Here's the thing. Sometimes it will be dangerous. And in fact, in this situation, I did say to my kids, hey, we don't want to get super close to that, especially my young kids. They're like straight up drop-offs that they would have been gone in a half a second and we would have never found the body maybe, right? Like that was a real danger, that part. But all of the things they were doing were not that dangerous, right? I want to be able to feel my body's internal warning signs. I want to say to myself like, oh, I hear you. I feel you, right? I'm not going to resist that that still happens. It's natural. I want that warning sign to go off. It would be very dangerous if my body didn't remember emotional situations and remind me of them later because I would be like a toddler walking out in the street in front of cars, right? Because I wouldn't remember those things from day to day. No, that is our humanness. I can't coach you out of that, nor would I want to coach you out of that. What I want you to be able to do is recognize when it comes up, again, know why it's there, have some tools to evaluate what's going on, and then you be able to use agency about how you want to proceed instead of being dictated by your emotions. Okay, why did I bring this up in relation to last week's podcast when I talked about transactional versus abundant love? Sometimes when we are in those states, and I'm going to use the word triggered, that's kind of like a controversial word in my field now, so I know that, but I'm going to use it for today's episode because I think you know what I'm talking about. When we're in a triggered state, it does thrust us sometimes back into transactional and very self-centered thinking, okay? That doesn't mean that you're a terrible person who can't get to this place of a more abundant love or this more mature version of love. It doesn't mean that at all. What it does mean is when our primal brain, when our normal human brain gets triggered by something that feels emotionally dangerous, also physically dangerous, but in relationships, we're usually talking about emotional danger, gets triggered into this stress response, we will come back into that transactional place, almost all of us saying, look out for myself. What's best for me? What am I doing here? Or excuse me, what are you doing that is dangerous for me? Why are you not responding the way I want you to? Okay. Now, when we know what's going on with the primal brain and those emotional responses, again, we can still self-evaluate. We can take that to our differentiation skills. And I have a very specific and structured way I teach my clients to differentiate, very actionable and tangible way to do that. So I will say to them, hey, go use these tools, get some self-intimacy and some insight around this. And then when you go back to your partner to have these conversations, again, you can come from a more abundant place. So even if it feels transactional in the moment and you have these transactional tendencies, I want to be clear. I think that's very human. I don't want any of you going around shaming yourselves or feeling like you're broken, that you can't always be abundant instead of transactional 100% of the time. I want to clear that up. You will feel that way sometimes. It's just we don't want to be spending the majority of our time interacting with our partner and trying to solve problems, trying to come up with solutions from the transactional space. I hope that makes sense for you guys. Your primal brain is always, always, always going to be there. I recently saw somebody post, it was a Will Smith quote, and he was talking about like, I have finally come to the place where I know that I'm 100% responsible for my own happiness. Jada Smith, his wife is 100% responsible for her own happiness, and then we just get to come together. I saw somebody repost that, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's so interesting, because I actually believe Will Smith believes that, and I think it's sound marriage advice. I actually think he's a really good guy, and that's a smart piece of advice. And we all remember the Chris Rock debacle that happened not too long ago, right? He totally had an emotional response. He reacted. It felt like emotionally necessary to protect his wife's emotions, right? In an emotional threat. And he reacted with a very physical response toward Chris Rock, right? He's telling the world like, hey, we're all responsible for our own happiness and that's how we all function better. He totally believes that. And in an emotional moment, he had an emotional response that contradicted everything that he said, right? It's because that's how the primal brain works. You will always have a primal brain in your head. You will not do this perfectly. And when you get to know the felt sensations of your emotional responses, when you get to know the narratives and the stories that are hovering around your emotional responses and your triggers, when you get to know what your urges are, when I am thinking these narratives and when I'm feeling this emotional way in these triggered moments, when my urge is to do this, when you start to know all those things, you're going to be able to call them out more clearly. You're going to have a lot more insight and self-intimacy in differentiating yourself from the circumstance and from your partner. And then from that place, you will be able to offer a more abundant, more mature version of yourself to the relationship. All right, I hope that helps. And if you enjoyed this podcast episode or the other episodes from the past, I would love it if you would leave me a 5-star rating and a review below to help me increase the reach of this information. Also, feel free to go follow me on Instagram for more information about me and what I teach in between episodes. Have a great week, everybody.